Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, I think I'm making the case. It is now or never. I said yesterday that this show, the content I've been going through since last week, the 1798 resolutions, is all about Republic review. This is the divine plan in our immune system of how we have not only the ability, just like the cells don't have the opportunity. I guess in medicine, cancer, those types of things, are where the cells actually does antithetical things it's supposed to do. It rejects or what have you. But in this work, and I guess we do have choice, but in the design of our government, every person must and is duty bound to support the Constitution. We've been saying this. If we did that, we would be in this situation. It's amazing to me when I start seeing these parallels. It's just amazing to know that we have such a beautiful system that actually protects us in so many different ways. Anyway, one of the things that, I don't know how, but my beautiful bride found out that somebody recommended I run for president. She goes, "Are you going to run for president?" And so just to be clear here, no, I'm not going to run for president. It is not my job, not my position to try to campaign. Campaigning is something, because I believe we all have to be a part of a constitutional campaign. This is a collective conscience that must be created amongst every person that values their U.S. citizenship, that values their membership in this government that was given to us by the divine hand of providence. Our obligation is to support it and force our government into compliance. And so that's why we're going through all of this. And I had to tell her, well, no. She was kind of hopeful. And I said, well, I did tell the audience that I was speaking to at the time that if there was a write-in campaign, unbeknownst to me, and next thing I know, they call me. Because there's just, folks, you have to understand, there's no way even a write-in campaign would make me the president of the United States. It would have to be the Electoral College to do that. And you have to understand that as long as the Electoral College has been completely subverted and perverted by the parties, we can't have a good constitutional president. They won't. The globalists will not allow it. The globalists will allow Trump to come in and do a smackdown on the progressives and on some of these evil players, but they're not going to let him pull America from their controls. He can't make America great. The states and the people, the counties, let's put it in order, the people, the counties, and the states is what will make America great. We have to make our counties great. We have to then, by using our counties, make our states great. And then we can force the federal government into greatness. I mean, you've got to look at the sequence. Now, I operated, and I've been operating on both ends of the vacuum, the sucking, the blowing, or the pushing and the pulling, whatever you want, the two terms you want to use. I've been operating that way because I'm both trying to educate the people as well as targeting good constitutional legislators and educating them to keep them in office. By educating them and helping them prove what needs to be, because they're in office. The only reason these folks are in office is strictly because of the electorate. There we go. The voters, the electorate, want that type of leader. And I'm telling you, folks, They all want that type of leader. This is why you need to start your campaigns now. This is why after we do this, we're going to go into the constitutional campaign and how you should have already been doing these things. So because we're already behind schedule, we've already lost a week since the election. And if you haven't been doing things right now, you need to start looking, first off, as we're going through this lectorial, you know, content, as I lecture on these resolutions and the process of republic review, you need to actually be reading the petitions on our petitions page. Go read those. And then if you think there are petitions that you need for your county, things that are the utmost importance that everybody else is going to rally upon, you need to start dedicating your time to that. Now, if you really believe that it is a Second Amendment issue that is needed to get everybody's attention in your county, then so be it. Do that. But don't allow your own personal opinion of what is important to drive everybody. Because if you're trying to use the passion, you really need to come up with the common passion. And the best way, as far as I'm concerned, is to offer them a beautiful meal, basically serve up a meal. Most everybody finds that this invasion on our southern border is absolutely untenable and must be addressed immediately. There is one petition on our website for that. The next one is removing Biden and removing tyrants. That one petition, that one is very specific on the Electoral College. You want to teach people about the Electoral College and the why we can't ever have a electoral process to where we can even vote. Even if we had 75% of the vote for a write-in candidate such as yours truly, 75%, that would still not get there because the Electoral College is controlled by the parties. So what do you do? What ends up happening? Who, if you do a write-in ballot and the only Electoral College out there, see, this would prove how broken the Constitution has become, how far away they've actually broken this process. Because if there was a hands-down favorite, a James Madison rises, you know, from the earth and actually, becomes such a magnetic personality. I don't think I possess any of that. But anyway, becomes that type of a personality that says, this person must be our president. Then what would happen? What would happen is the parties would reject that. So who is going to choose the electors to choose me? Because the party, if they don't win, if they can't win in a majority, and I actually win, then whoever wins in the 12th Amendment, whoever wins in that write-in, whoever wins based on the 12th Amendment, because the Electoral College, there won't be an Electoral College. Right? Well, actually, there will be an Electoral College replacement, which is the 12th Amendment. So in other words, if the electors can't choose because nobody voted for electors to choose me, they just voted for me in a popular vote. That does not elect me. This is why you must demand your ability to choose your elector instead of choosing the president. This is how we can actually take back the process we're supposed to be following. And if all else fails, then Congress, the House of Representatives, will vote for and choose the president, and the Senate will choose the vice president. It's that simple, folks. It's really that simple. And getting the party form of government dismantled is easily done. But anyway, back to the issue at hand. As you know, the show is also sponsored by republicreview.org. And as you know, you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. This is where you get it, folks. Don't come here for a good laugh and a knee slapper and a yard yarn, or I forget what they call it in the Navy, where you can find these tall stories or what have you. Anyway, sea tales. Anywho, we have been through the top part or the front end of the report on the Virginia resolutions written by Madison. And I'm telling you, that stuff yesterday was so powerful. Yeah. Before I get into reading, there are times when we do things that we just feel this warm glow in us. I can't tell you at the end of the show yesterday how I had that glow. I really, in reading these words, it's almost like reading the scriptures, how the truth is so evident in coming out of what we have to do. And I haven't even gotten into the real juicy meat because it starts now. It starts in paragraph 18. And as we go to the end of this document, it is going to be literally such a barrage of blows that you'll feel sorry for the enemy. You're going to feel sorry because the enemy will has no defense. They're completely defenseless against the truth. Their lies fall and basically go asunder. They get literally decimated as we hear Madison actually go through with the power that the states have and what they can do. Anyway, when we come back from break, we're going to start off with 18. We're going to talk about, because Madison was just going through this concept of how the states had to interpose. And he's going to get into this in more detail now. This is just overwhelmingly good stuff, folks. So strap on. We're about ready to go into orbit.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
So before I actually read paragraph 18, I really have to kind of jump at the very beginning of this because he's going to make a reference to the committee. And so what we want to do is we want to understand, you know, who is this report going to? Well, this is what it says, because this is the very first, this is the beginning of who he's addressing this to. Report of the committee to whom were referred the communications of various states relative to the resolutions of the last General Assembly of this state concerning the Alien and Sedition Act. So this is a report back in addressing that committee in their communications. And so the state legislature was basically wondering, and so this is when he refers to your committee, he's basically talking about the committee in the Virginia legislature that went through this, okay? So he says, it appears to your committee to be a plain principle founded in common sense, illustrated by common practice, and essential to the nature of compacts. I'm going to stop right there. So what he just said is not what we would say today. It may be the first two parts of this would be okay, but that third part is different, and I will tell you how I would have said it. And this is how I would have said this in the last part. And essential in the nature of compacts, or founded upon the fundamental tenets of contract law. What's the difference of what I said and what he said? The nature of compacts, he's speaking in a legal term, that the legality and the nature of the law of contract law, and essential to the nature of compacts, where I have only converted this to basically say it is based on the fundamental tenets of contract law. Same thing. He was basically saying precisely that. So clearly, Madison was basically saying this not only makes sense, it's illustrated in common practice because everybody used to go around making contracts with this, you know, the shaking of a hand, you do this, I'll do that. Okay, we shake on it and it happens. That's a fundamental contract. It is illustrated in common practice and essential or based on the fundamental tenets of contract law. This is what he goes on and says, that where resort can be had to no tribunal superior to the authority of the parties themselves must be the rightful judges in the last resort. Do you understand what he just said? Where resort can be had to no tribunal superior to the authority of the parties themselves must be the rightful judges. That right there, my friends, is an assertion that if there is no court that has the jurisdiction over this particular issue, that it resides with the parties of the compact, then only the compact can judge, or I should say only the parties of the compact can form a tribunal to become the judge, jury, and executioner. In the last resort, where the bargain made, and in this particular case, where the Constitution was ratified, has been pursued or violated. So in other words, and I'm going to tie both of these parts of the sentence together, this portion of the sentence together, because this is all literally one sentence. Where resort can be had to no tribunal superior to the authority of the parties themselves must be the rightful judges in the last resort, where the bargain made has been pursued or violated. In other words, the deal that they made, the ratification of this compact, this contract they created, whether it was followed or whether it was violated, pursued or violated. Pursued means followed. The Constitution of the United States was formed by the sanction of the states, plural. And he's being very specific, the states, given by each in its sovereign capacity. And it at, well, I'm sorry. So what I do, and I've got to forgive me, please. I created a pause where there was a comma and kind of separated this, and it just didn't make sense because it was a sentence fragment. So I have to read the whole thing. So forgive me. The Constitution of the United States was formed by the sanction of the states. And what I did was I paused right there and I didn't tell you that that was a comma and we started going in. So by the sanction of the states given by in each its sovereign capacity. It adds, because that was really cumbersome to read by itself, it adds to the stability and dignity as well as to the authority of the Constitution that it rests on this legitimate and solid foundation. The states then being the parties to the constitutional compact And in their sovereign capacity, it follows of necessity that there can be no tribunal above their authority to decide in the last resort whether the compact made by them be violated. And consequently, that as the parties to it, they must themselves decide in the last resort such questions as may be of significant magnitude to require their interposition. In other words, what are they going to do about it and how are they going to do it? So here was the problem that they were hitting. Most people didn't have anything. And as a matter of fact, too many snakes were already in the states, not willing to hold the federal government accountable because they saw some of the things that the federal government was doing was favorable for them so that they could squash political speech and actually start becoming, centralizing powers and letting the federal government become more authoritarian. In other words, assuming unconstitutional powers. And so now that ends paragraph 18. Now we go into paragraph 19. It does not follow, however, because the states as sovereign parties to their constitutional compact must ultimately decide whether it has been violated. Okay. It does not follow, however, because the states as sovereign parties to their constitutional compact must ultimately decide whether it has been violated, and such a decision ought to be interposed either in hasty manner or on doubtful or inferior occasions. Even in the case of ordinary conventions, and what he means by conventions here, in ordinary processes between different nations, whereby the strict rule of interpretation, a breach of a part may be deemed a breach of the whole. This is fundamental contract law he's going through, folks. He's basically saying that if one little part of the Constitution is violated, the entire Constitution is violated. And somebody can hold them to that, and they can actually, this is a practice, this is a fundamental tenet, they can get out of that contract. You violate it in any degree, we can get out. Now, so they try to create these contracts to say you can't get out of it. But they can't do that with this Constitution. The federal government cannot demand that, if you join this union, you can't get out of it. They can't do that because the federal government is not a party to it. Only the states are. And when this federal government starts to impose a greater authority over something it has no authority to, in other words, it can't determine the sovereignty of a state. A state is fully sovereign over all things it possesses that are not delegated to the federal government or restricted to them. That's the 10th Amendment right there. So does the federal government have the power to subjugate states? No. They have the role and responsibility to admit states, not to subjugate them. Okay? So every part being deemed a condition of every other part and of the whole, it is always laid down that the breach must be both willful and material to justify an application of the rule. But in the case of an intimate and constitutional union like that of the United States, it is evident that the interposition of the parties in the sovereign capacity can be called for by occasions only deeply and essentially affecting the vital principles of their political system. And so, in other words, he's basically laying out that it's obviously can be called for, and they felt, and they were right in saying that these violations were so severe in violating the First Amendment right of speech and in violating the control of persons that they didn't have at that point in time, that, you know, these needed to be stricken. They needed to be removed. And as Jefferson referred to it, that the states needed to collectively nullify this. In other words, strike it from existence. Paragraph 20. The resolution accordingly guarded against by misapprehension of its object by expressly requiring for an interposition, quote, the case of deliberate palpable or blatant and dangerous breach of the Constitution by the exercise of powers not granted by it, close quote. It must be a case not of a light and transient nature, but a nature dangerous to the great purpose for which the Constitution was established. It must be a case, moreover, not obscure or doubtful in its construction, but plain and palpable. Now, we can give you an overwhelming mountain of blatant violations that they are committing. And in other words, we have a lot of work to do, folks. But with that, we're actually going into a little promo break. So when we come back, I will actually, you know, finish paragraph 20 as we dive further into this, because he's not done and he's going to address the Supreme Court and how they have no business meddling in this. We'll be right back after these two promos.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, health care, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so this is getting pretty meaty and pretty interesting here. So he's kind of talking about, well, you don't want to necessarily dive into Republic Review over something that is, you know, ambiguous and not clear-cut, because that's why, right here, we're still in paragraph 20. That's why he said, but plain and palpable. In other words, it must be a case, moreover, not obscure or doubtful in its construction. You know, like something regarding the militia. So I'll give you a good one. Let's say the federal government comes along and starts telling you that, okay, so we're going to give every citizen these guns and, you know, we're going to train everybody this. And so everybody's going to be capable of defending this nation if necessary. And as a matter of fact, folks, if you understand what they're responsible for, because this clearly is a responsibility of the federal government, and America is probably in the greatest threat today because of our government, and they're doing everything they can to make us as vulnerable as possible. There is a huge necessity that you start teaching kids in public school firearm safety and how to use firearms, the purposes of firearms, and why we must be able to defend ourselves and how to operate. I mean, I think those fundamental infantry tactics and those types of things in junior high and high school is critical so that people understand if they're being called into service as soon as they graduate, these young people, that they understand, you know, why we're doing this and why this is important. Because there's no greater security of a free state than a well-regulated militia. That's the Second Amendment, right? And so let's say that the federal government was actually doing what they're supposed to do. Let's say we actually had a president that truly understood what we needed to do and how to get aligned. And he was going out to every state and saying, we are no longer going to be funding all of these, you know, unconstitutional growths of military forces within your police force. We're going to give you, and we're reinstituting your unorganized militia. And we're going to make sure that every citizen has fundamental understanding training and is equipped. Got to understand, the National Guard, that is a reserve for the Army, and the Army needs to use that as a part of their budget instead of the states. And it needs to be realigned as reserve bodies, and as a matter of fact, it needs to be reexamined as the necessity of maintaining a standing Army. The Air Force and its strategic purposes should probably lie underneath the Navy. And Space Force should also lie underneath the Navy. The only legitimate constitutional force is the Navy and all of its sub-departments. The Marine Corps, I believe the Air Force should be a part of that. And most all of it, just how amazing would that be? Because when the Marines actually go to sea, they actually have to do qualifications, landing on the deck and everything else. How great would that be if Air Force officers had to do the same thing? In other words, it didn't matter where you went. You could be flying a strategic jet, a strategic reconnaissance aircraft, a tanker. It doesn't matter. You still have to have fundamental training for that aircraft in a nautical sense. So if it's a Harrier, if it's a helicopter, what have you, you have to possibly serve on sea time. So you can't be ignorant to that, because, you know, that's one of the problems that they had. And I'm sorry for going down this rat hole, but it was a problem that the military had when the Army had its own ships and its own invasion forces instead of the Navy. And they said, hold on here. We're the Navy. You can't have your own ships. And that's when they actually started forcing the Army to actually get back, to make it seem like they're back within the constraints of the Constitution. The reason these politics and this kind of crap exist is all because of the aspirations and avarice and the machinations of all of these people, I should say officers, the politicians in the military. If it's an officer, it is a creature of politics today. Because it's not because an officer has an education anymore. As a matter of fact, consider this and I'll move on. It takes an enlisted man to make an aircraft worthy to fly. It takes an enlisted man to make a ship worthy to go out and fight. To make all of these things fight. There is not an officer turning a wrench, pulling wires, or anything. These are all enlisted doing this and making these very sophisticated pieces of equipment actually operate. So tell me again the education level that we have in our services today. Because if an officer doesn't know how to fix something, but they sure can crash it, then seriously? The fact that we have – this is I challenged this while I was in the Marine Corps. The fact that we actually had two separate rank structures was asinine. But anyway, I always ruffle feathers when I start challenging paradigms. And I know that I'm probably upsetting and alienating people out there. But folks, we need to start challenging our paradigms because they're not necessarily always founded on the correct basis. It's time to grow and evolve. Anyway – going on, it is not necessary because the resolution does not require that the question should be discussed how far the exercise of particular power ungranted by the Constitution would justify the interposition of the parties to it, as cases might be stated which none could contend ought to fall. Within that description, cases, on the other hand, might with equal ease be stated so flagrant and so fatal as to unite every opinion in placing them within the description. What American doesn't think that what's going on our southern border is absolutely untenable? The 40 million invaders that's occupying America today is a good thing. It's one thing. See, if we wanted to solve this whole migration problem, we need to start making those states below us on the path of becoming states of the United States. Get these people back there, have an election, we'll be there to help, you know, actually execute that election, and we will prove, and what we'll do is we'll do it by paper, and we won't corrupt it, and we will prove that the people want to be on a path to becoming a state in the United States. Wow. This is how we solve all these problems, and this is how we bring liberty to the land, where people don't have to crawl to America. They shouldn't have to crawl to America to enjoy liberty. Our Constitution has a portal to allow any state in the world to petition to the United States to become a state. Now, it's not granted immediately. There are standards and conditions. We must ensure that for all purposes and intents, that as these states come in, they actually come in and have completely integrated and prepared to completely integrate before they become a state, before the people of that state can become citizens. Okay? They become limited citizens of the territory, but they're not citizens of the United States. Okay? So anyway, 21. But the resolution has done more than guard against misconstruction by expressly referring to cases of a deliberate, blatant and dangerous nature. It specifies, and he says palpable again, it specifies the object of the interposition, which it contemplates to be solely that of arresting the progress of evil and usurpation and of maintaining authorities, rights, and liberties appertaining to the states as parties to the Constitution. Wow. I mean, he's literally explaining, and it's almost like, you know, just slapping, you know, these challengers around going, you know, oh, you're talking about treason. No, we're talking about enforcing the Constitution, that the government is treasonous. From this view of the resolution, it would seem, and this right here, folks, this is 22. And actually, 22 on is where we get into the Supreme Court part, right? So from this view of the resolution, it would seem inconceivable that it could incur in any just disapprobation from those who, laying aside all momentary impressions and recollecting the genuine source and object of the federal Constitution, shall candidly and accurately interpret the meaning of the General Assembly. If the deliberate exercise of dangerous powers blatantly or palpably withheld by the Constitution could not justify the parties to it interposing even so far as to arrest the progress of evil, and hereby to preserve the Constitution itself, as well as to provide for the safety of the parties to it, there would be an end to all relief from usurped power and a direct subversion of the rights specified or recognized under the state's constitutions, as well as a plain denial of the fundamental principles on which our independence itself was declared. Now, that was just one sentence, and we're looking at, six and a half lines. That was one sentence, and that was such a mouthful. I'm going to repeat it. If the deliberate exercise of dangerous powers palpably withheld by the Constitution, blatantly withheld by the Constitution, could not justify the parties to it in interposing even so far as to arrest the progress of evil, and thereby to preserve the Constitution itself, as well as to provide for the safety of the parties to it, there would be an end to all relief from usurped powers and a direct subversion of the rights specified or recognized under the state constitutions, as well as a plain denial of the fundamental principles on which our independence itself was declared. I mean, right there, it's just like, wow, that could be the end. We'll be right back when he takes on the Supreme Court and proves they have no jurisdiction. We'll be right back, folks.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so this is right here where he gets into the court. Now, remember, he's responding specifically to the insinuations and charges by the states here, by the other states. And so what that means is, obviously, there had to have been, and I would love to have read what these other states had said to their resolutions, how they sent back to both Kentucky and Virginia. Yeah, step back. Where do you get off telling us that this is bad? We see this as good. And you know what? Fundamentally, they were really realizing that even though these things were violations, they had to have come to the conclusion that there was something missing in the Constitution, something so fundamental of being able to remove public servants who fail to do their job, that the divine hand of providence gave that to us in the 14th Amendment. There's no doubt in my mind, Madison and Jefferson would have loved to have seen as consequences the ability to remove these men. But it was sacred that these people were representatives and that these people weren't committing wholesale treason. But the concept, wholesale treason, is trying to overthrow an insurrection and so forth. Remember, the people in Pennsylvania who refused to try to support the whiskey tax were charged with treason. Therefore, when the federal government created this unconstitutional law, I can't believe and I can't understand why Madison didn't call them out for committing treason, why he didn't use such hyperbole, right? Okay, so anyway, but it is objected that the judiciary authority, so in other words, they had to have objected that the judicial authority is to be regarded as the sole expositor of the Constitution in the last resort. And it may be asked for what reason the declaration by the General Assembly, supposing it to be theoretically true, could be required at the present day and in so solemn a manner. On this objection, because basically they're saying, well, you know, how do you, you know, promote yourself on this concept and not the judiciary? The judiciary is supposed to be supreme in ruling all things. You got to remember the 11th Amendment already stepped in, right? But this was an issue between a law of the federal government being applied to the states. So this is what Madison's response to this is. On this objection, it might be observed first that there may be instances of usurped power, which the forms of the Constitution would never draw within the control of the judicial department. Secondly, that if the decision of the judiciary be raised above the authority of the sovereign parties to the Constitution, the decisions of the other departments not carried by the forms of the Constitution before the judiciary must be equally authoritative and final with the decisions of that department. But the proper answer to this objection is that the resolution of the General Assembly relates to those great and extraordinary cases in which all the forms of the Constitution may prove ineffectual against infractions dangerous to the essential rights of the parties to it. The resolution supposes that dangerous powers not delegated may not only be usurped and executed by the other departments, but that the judicial department may also exercise or sanction dangerous powers before the grant of the Constitution, and consequently, that the ultimate right of the parties to the Constitution to judge whether the compact has been dangerously violated must extend to violations by one delegated authority as well as by another, by the judiciary as well as the executive or the legislature. I mean, he was stating the obvious, that all branches of government, if one can usurp, they all would usurp their authority, and the honor amongst thieves would step in. That, and this has been proven, how the judiciary has constantly been aggrandizing the powers of both the executive and the legislative, you know, when it suited the progressive agenda. I mean, Mark Levin, you know, may be a misguided man, but his book, Men in Black, was actually a pretty decent book. And he points out how the judiciary had been corrupted and so forth. Anyway, moving on to paragraph 25. We've jumped down to 25 now because that was 24. However true, therefore, it may be that the judicial department is, in all questions submitted to it by the forms of the Constitution to decide in the last resort, this resort must necessarily be deemed the last resort or the last in relation. I'm sorry. This resort must necessarily be deemed the last in relation to the authorities of the other departments of the government, not in relation to the rights of the parties to the constitutional compact, from which the judicial as well as the other departments hold their delegated trusts. In other words, he says that they're not parties to this compact. They can't come to this tribunal. They exist because the compact itself, that they're not parties to, has actually granted them these few powers, not powers to be a party. On any other hypothesis, the delegation of judicial power would annul the authority delegating it, and the concurrence of this department with others in usurped powers might subvert forever and beyond the possible reach of any rightful remedy, the very Constitution, which all were instituted to preserve. In other words, they could get to a point where they've aggrandized and perverted the law and the Constitution to where we have what we have, folks. This basically has played out, that because of what happened in 1798, 1799, Madison foretold that if we allow the judiciary to constantly step in and make all of these rulings, government will continue to drift sideways. The only way to get the government back, nadir, back to the center point of where it belongs, is truly Republic Review is truly the state's convening, and I'm going to use the word convention, not as a constitutional convention, but a formation of the process of auditing and interposing, as Jefferson called it in his notes on the state of Virginia, a convention to deal with the breaches, not to amend, but to enforce the Constitution. In Federalist Paper number 49, Madison points to the very first paragraph in citing that book that Jefferson wrote, Notes on the State of Virginia, that there are two types of conventions, one to amend the Constitution and one to dealing with the breaches thereof. And he uses capital letters, the breaches thereof. So when people like the John Birch Society want to try to, you know, crucify me because I use the word convention. And obviously Madison here even used the word convention, you know, in the form of a process. You know, it's almost like they, you know, you use this word and they're the ones that actually define how that word has to be used. And it can only be used for a constitutional convention for amending or rewriting the Constitution. And I'm just telling you that when you've got organizations like that out there that are actually obscuring the truth and actually fighting the truth, such as fighting us with Republic Review, then we now see the end of the John Birch Society. They may be growing in ranks, but their relevance and what they're doing is now on the path of serving evil. They have to wake up. If the members of that organization truly are patriots, and I'm not talking patriots, if they're true patriots, they will step up to fix this problem. But the challenge is why these entertainers continue to go down this path. Why the entertainers constantly continue to do those things that pay them is because the problem is their golden goose. In other words, it's what pays. The problem is giving them golden eggs. So why would they want to kill the goose that gives them golden eggs? It's that simple. We have to identify all the organizations that are getting, whether it's a golden egg or they're just getting a little fragment of the shell of that gold from the egg. All patriot organizations that are doing this for money and maintain and fail to unify and back up and say, you know what, it is about the Constitution. It's not just about medical freedom. It's not just about the Second Amendment. It's not just about abortion. It is about the entire Constitution, that our problem, whatever it is, abortion, medical freedom, whatever it is, our problem cannot be greater, cannot overcome the real problem that the federal government is doing all of these things outside of their authority. And so, folks, I'm here to tell you, we have the power, we have the authority right here in our own hands. The reason I'm not reading anymore is we've got a couple more paragraphs to go. We're going to wrap up with paragraphs 25 and 26. There's still some highlights that need to be read. But I am here to tell you that we possess the power to actually get to change our culture and to change the culture of our government, just like Martin Luther did. And it took him 10 years to do this. It's all through petitions. It is all through educating through those petitions and demanding full compliance of the Constitution and demanding interposition. We have the ability to do this, folks. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.